Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2013. Brought to you by...
Are you a professional working in the vision loss field? AFB's e-learning center has the tools and resources to support you. Learn about technology, eye conditions, aging, and more 24/7 wherever you are through AFB's webinars and online courses. Earn credits and enhance your knowledge by visiting www.afb.org/e-learning.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2013 with Shelley Brisbane. She is a freelance writer, and we are talking to her today, especially because she is in the process of writing a new book about iOS accessibility. Shelley, welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thank you.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're working on?
My book is called iOS Access for All at iosaccessbook.com, and basically it's going to be a guide to all the accessibility features in iOS. Includes VoiceOver, but also the low vision tools and guided access, assistive touch, anything that has to do with accessibility.
Okay.
I'm also going to talk about accessibility in terms of how you would use features of the iPhone that aren't specifically intended to be accessible, but that are cool. So if you're low vision, you can use the camera to take pictures of and magnify things and read them or look at them.
Right.
Stuff like that.
And wait, then, even if you're totally blind, you could use, they have the face detection, which
totally,
is...
Totally, yeah, yep. Which is really cool. So the idea is... how to, but also tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of the book is going to be must-have apps in a lot of different categories. So what are the best navigation apps? What are the best reading apps, productivity apps, games?
Okay.
All with accessibility in mind.
What do you feel will set this book apart from other iOS guides that have been produced for accessibility?
I think the first thing is comprehensiveness, because a lot of the guides have been very focused on VoiceOver, which is totally cool. But there's a lot of great low vision tools. And like I said, there are a lot of things where accessibility isn't the intention, but accidentally, there are great things you can do with accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that I'm going to be able to update on the fly, because although I'm going to write it as an ebook and make it available, I will give people updates to the book when minor things change and update. I'm going to push out an update. I'll also do podcasts and blogs that feature new apps as they come out. I've learned about a lot of apps here at CSUN that aren't quite going to be ready when my book is out, but I want to make sure when I cover
sure.
them. So once I get you involved in my book, I want you to stick around, because I'm going to give you more content after you buy the book.
Got you. So pretty much, are you entitled to like a year of updates, or does it matter? Like how much updates would you get if you...
Honestly, it's going to depend on what Apple does, because I want to make sure that anybody who buys this book, which will cover iOS 6, will get all the iOS 6 related updates. If Apple does a huge new upgrade, I haven't really decided whether
right.
to commit on a time. But it's definitely going to be based on major release. So Apple just came out with Apple 6.1.2. I'm not charging you for that.
Right.
I'm not going to charge you for 6.5. I might charge you for 7, but I'm not. My goal is not to get repeat customers and gouge them. My goal is to
right.
get you in and give you continuous updates about the information.
Right, and by doing an online model as opposed to a print or whatever publication, then you certainly have that freedom to
absolutely.
To keep the information always
absolutely.
Current. Because, you know, things are changing and breaking and being fixed all the time, as we know. With mobile accessibility, that's
right, and the technology exists out there, so that even if I give you a PDF version or an EPUB version or whatever, I have the ability to update you. There are publishers out there who, when you get their PDF-based version, you can click on a link and say, hey, am I up to date? And if you're not, they'll download an updated version of the same PDF.
Okay.
So
which versions will be available? I'm assuming it's going to be accessible.
There'll be an accessible PDF version at the very least. And honestly, what I'm doing is asking a lot of people what they want, and I'm still taking feedback about that. And I would invite people to write me at shelley@iosaccessbook.com and just say, I'm desperate for a DAISY format, which is not really what I'm planning to do, but you know, whatever format it is you're into, put your vote in, because it'll at the very least it'll be accessible PDF. There may be some reason to do like an EPUB 3 where you can do rich media, but I honestly don't know, and I'm still in the information gathering stage.
Sure.
The beauty is I can create the content. The easiest thing in the world to do is to, you know, dump it into a PDF or some kind of format where I can describe the, because there will be illustrations and tables and things like that, screenshots, and then make it available in other formats if people are really interested.
Sure. What makes you qualified to present this information?
That's a very good question. I have been a writer in the technology world for 25 years. I have 12 books to my credit, most of which are in the Mac world, so I'm co-author of a couple of the Mac OS for Dummies books. I wrote several books on Adobe Go Live, which is a web development environment, and about wireless networking as well. So, and I also worked at Mac User Magazine for 5 years in the 90s. So I am really all about how-to, and I'm all about product reviews, and I'm all about a real focus on the end user, the person who goes, I just don't get it. My son gave me an iPad, and I'm not quite sure how that works. So I think in terms of those people, and I've got the, you know, the professional track record to kind of back it up, but I'm also just like really focused on the people instead of the technology.
Sure. Depending on the success of this book, have you thought about doing something similar for the Mac itself? Or?
That's a possibility. I mean, VoiceOver for the Mac has been around for a long time, and my understanding is that there are not a lot of super comprehensive resources. I'm not a daily VoiceOver user, so probably what I would do is get somebody who is to work with, and maybe I would do the writing, and they would do the kind of hands-on tech part.
Okay.
And, you know, it depends on where there's demand. I guess my thought was my next project would probably be an Android book, so something on the latest Android operating system that actually has some enhanced accessibility.
Right.
But that's kind of down the road. I want to get this one done first.
Well, yeah, we have one book at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. And how much will the book cost? When will it be available?
It's not going to cost more than $10. I haven't set a firm price, but it'll be under $10, and I'm hoping that it'll be available in late spring, early summer.
Okay. And actually, just quickly, I found it interesting. You were telling me before we started the recording, you also run an app review podcast, which does include some accessibility stuff in it.
I do. It's called App Store Pundit. It's at appstorepundit.com. And my tagline is iOS app reviews baked fresh in 10 minutes or less. And so I will give you 1 to 3 app reviews in 10 minutes, just tell you how it works, whether I like it or not. And then at the end, when I give you all the configuration information, system requirements, I'll tell you whether it's VoiceOver accessible. If it's an app that has really specific accessibility functions like navigation, I might get into that in the review. It's a mainstream podcast, but the point is I want you to be able to enjoy a mainstream podcast and also get what you need, because every blind person's question when they listen to a mainstream app review is, yeah, but does it work with VoiceOver? And
right.
So I'm going to tell you.
And then kind of defeats the whole purpose of it, you know.
Right, because you feel like you've wasted your time. You listen to this app review and you're like, you know, that sounds really great. I'd love an app that fries my eggs in the morning for me. Oh, it's not VoiceOver.
Right.
Okay.
So you tell me at the end, so it's almost like I should skip to the end of the podcast first and then back to the beginning.
You know, that's kind of a good point. Maybe. But, well, and something I haven't done, but I've thought of, like, I mean, probably, and the book will bring this out, because I'm going to do the best in class for all these various categories of apps.
Sure.
So I may do an App Store Pundit that says these are the best apps, period, that are also accessible. So you'll be guaranteed that everything I talk about is something that's accessible. But I haven't figured out all that. That's just ideas that I have in my head right now.
Okay. Well, go ahead and give the website and any other contact information you want one more time.
Sure. My book is at iosaccessbook.com. And right now there's an FAQ that tells a lot of the stuff we've talked about on the book. There's contact information there. So if you want to give me feedback, I'm really interested. Anybody who has a bone to pick with whatever's out there as far as accessibility in iOS that wants to tell me you have to include this, or if you have a favorite app or something, totally give me a call. You know, let me know.
Sure.
Also, appstorepundit.com, which is the app review podcast. And I'm findable all sorts of other ways. And I'm Shelly on Twitter, Shelly. So
you had to sign up pretty early.
I did.
You're
2007. I looked out.
Yeah, your account 900,000 or something.
It was very fancy, and it was funny because somebody just said you should get on Twitter, and I said, what's a Twitter? I don't know. And then I was working. I was an editor at Blogger and Podcaster magazine, which I ran for about a year and a half.
Right.
And I was doing a story that included Twitter, so I had to get an account. So that's how it happened.
So you got it really early.
Yes, 2007.
Right. You did not use it at first, but I mean, you're on it all the time now, so obviously.
Well, the only thing that's annoying is you get a lot of spam.
Yeah.
Because people send random Shelly spam. I mean,
sure.
If my name was Mary, it would be worse, but, you know.
But for a conference like this, it's great.
Yes.
I mean, that's how we found you.
So
for
easy.
Right.
It's like, Shelly, hello.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how we find a lot of our interviews, just to, like, see what people are talking about.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Hey, well, Shelly, hey, thank you so much for coming out. We look forward to seeing the book.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I hope everybody will get in touch with me if they have any feedback about what they'd like to see in the book.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2013.